Okay, our first speaker we have comes from Springfield, Ohio. Please give a warm welcome to Nate C.
Okay.
I'm Nate. I'm a grateful recovering addict from Springfield, Ohio. Originally from Toledo, Ohio, but the journey was a lot. Okay, now I moved around a bit. I like to thank this committee, the convention committee, and I like to thank my wonderful friends that I've met here since I've been at the convention, coming to this workshop and supporting me because I'm all nervous and everything. So when I see y'all warm faces, y'all have helped me calm down just a little bit, you know. My sponsee brother's is Dwight, and we was talking about last year sometime. He was on the convention committee. He said, well, I'm doing the thing. I said, well, why not have a inclusiveness workshop, you know? He took the suggestion. I'm surprised it is happening. But in my early recovery, they used to have a lot of workshops, inclusive workshops. And the titles was Alternative Lifestyle, the Common Needs, you know, like we handicapped, you know, all that. You know, and it had all different type of names and stuff for the workshops. And over the years, I noticed that they don't have them anymore. You know, especially from my area. And we have a lot of people that's in our area that's from the LGBT plus community. And they don't have them. So, you know, there was a thing of identification. And I would go to the men's workshop, and sometimes I'll go to the women's workshop and everything like that. But, you know, we'll be standing around in the hallway looking at each other like, okay, what are we going to do? So some of us, we would get together and go off into one of the little rooms, and we would go ahead and have our own little meeting so that we could talk and share where we're at. And the topic is, what is the topic? Something. Inclusive means by any addict, and it's on page 239 from the spiritual principle today, and I like that. I thought that was real cute, you know. It says, all persons are welcome equally attaining the relief that they are seeking from their addiction. Every addict can recover from this program on an equal basis. Many of us has been around NA for a little while, and no doubt this program is for any addict. Our literature and tradition clearly states that an addict can desire to stop using and be able to find a place in our fellowship. The ideal into reality requires more than telling the newcomer focus on the similarities than the differences. It requires an active space in our meetings that for any addict, regardless of. Well, I like that word, regardless of, and I decided to look that up. Don't ask me why, but I did. Okay, it says, and I want to go ahead and get the disclaimer out the way right now. I might cuss, I might be loud, whatever, but I'm a little passionate, you know. It says, regardless of, it's an adverb or adjective meaning, means in spite of everything, without effect, by, or without paying attention to difficulties. And it says, it specifies proceeding despite obstacles or when used regardless of as treating something irrelevant to the decision. And when I thought about regardless of, was that when I first came around in the fellowship, I could tell y'all about my little backstory. I was young. There was something different about me. I didn't know what it was. You know, I was attracted to men, but I didn't know it at the time. When I was little, I would get my hands slapped because if I break my wrist, I would get my hands slapped. You know, don't do that. So it was always, and I wasn't even paying attention. It was just something I was doing. You know, when I look at some of the pictures, I was like this. I have a twin sister, so she was born before me, 2 minutes before, and then I was a surprise, you know, so they didn't even know I was coming. So I tell this real quick story. So when they brought me home, my mom didn't have any clothes for guys, so she dressed me up in a girl's clothes. Who knew? But my life during that time was it was difficult because, you know, I would have to hide what I was feeling and stuff, and it was a lot of guilt and shame behind it, and I felt different, and I didn't know what was different was, but I knew that it was something about me that was different, you know. And I remember in the seventh grade, there was a guy, we was in the gym, and his name was Eric. And when I saw his abs, that was the first time I said, ooh, this something is going on inside of me. I was in the seventh grade. But later on down the line, I hid my attraction for men. You know what I'm saying? I would get a girlfriend real quick just to cover up. I liked her, but I really liked her brother, you know. But I would cover up, and I would do a lot of things. I'd go back and forth and stuff like that. And then slowly but surely, I would get into some relationships. My first relationship was in Columbus with this dude named Magic. Don't ask me why, okay? And that was the first real attraction that I had for a guy. And later on down the line, I felt disappointed in myself. You know, it was a whole lot. It was a lot of little guilt stuff going on, and then I end up trying drugs. I wasn't one of the ones in the early beginning that used real early in the beginning. When I was 16 years old, I thought I got drunk on some TJ Swan, which was wine cooler. You know what I'm saying? I didn't do any weed or anything like that until later on down the line. You know, I was one of them little church boys that was in the church all the time, tearing up the aisles, shouting back and forth and everything else, singing in the choir, you know. But I remember going to church, and then when they would, you know, the pastor would say something about Sodom and Gomorrah and all that kind of stuff and going to hell, then that just made me feel more guilty. Yeah. You know, that just made me feel even more like, okay, you know, I have this something going on inside of me. I am attracted to who I am attracted to, and why is it so wrong? Yeah. You know. And then it says down here, a little bit down the line, it says, people told us to focus on the similarities, and all I could think was, it's pretty easy for you. And I'm just talking about just jumping a little bit, but everyone looks like you. So real quick, I just threw that in real fast. But fast forward, I end up getting high, abusing drugs, got into relationships. I was pretty much out when I moved back to Toledo. My first guy that I got with in Toledo was married. He stayed at my house. My house ended up being a trap house. You know, my dad had left me a house, and my house ended up being a trap house. And I remember I was working at a clothing store, and I was walking to work, and something kept telling me, you need to turn back and go back home. I don't know what it was. I think it was something greater than me that was telling me something's about to happen. And before I knew it, when I made it to the store, I wanted to bolt out the store. And then the dude, well, I can't stand him now. But anyway, he showed up, and my house was on fire. And I lost everything. And one of the things I lost was, I'm an artist, so I lost my paintings. And that's all I really cared about at the time, was my paintings and stuff. So, so that took me deeper into my drug addiction, you know. And lo and behold, May 13th, on a Friday the 13th, was the last day I used. Okay. In 1995, you know. And I had stole from my mother. I was feeling guilty about that. God, in my understanding, helped me out a whole lot, because when I stayed at the treatment center, the halfway house was right down the street from where my mom was at a nursing home, and I can go see my mom, and I felt really bad, and I didn't know how to make any amends, but I know that was the best way that I could do it, because I felt so bad about it. And all, and I got a sponsor. I came into fellowship with Narcotics Anonymous. I got a sponsor while I was in treatment. He had 5 years. He took me, when I got out of treatment, he took me to a meeting. I got around, got active in the fellowship. I was doing everything, you know. But the one thing I didn't want everybody to know that I was gay, you know. And I didn't even want to tell him. And I thank God for the predecessors. Thank God for the people who are out and proud in the fellowship. Because there was an addict in Toledo area, Ronnie. He was out and he would share where he was at and stuff. I was like, how can you share this stuff? You know, I was all nervous and everything. And then we would talk privately among other, you know, by ourselves and stuff. And I would, you know, ride with my sponsor and I would talk about women and all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm a good camouflage. I can camouflage in a heartbeat. You know, I'm a chameleon. You know, and I've always been a chameleon all my life because I was always trying to hide who I was. You know, and I didn't ever find that freedom to be myself. So when I came into Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I started to do the same shit all over again. You know, I got with this big girl that had more time with me. She invited me over for a barbecue. You know, I thought it was going to be a barbecue with all everybody there at the barbecue in the fellowship. Come to find out, I was the only one there, her and her mother. You know, I had been doing treatment for 30 days. I was about to go to Salvation Army. I didn't want to be around a bunch of men. I just, you know, I was too nervous about that. And when I look back in my life, all my choices has been made on beyond the guilt and the shame of who I was. I was supposed to go to Central State University. I didn't want to go to that campus. It was an HBU school because I was afraid, and I knew I could probably succeed there, but I was afraid at that time that if they found out who I was, you know. And so I had got with the girl and everything like that, and we went to a dance, and some other girl tried to dance with me, and she turned out at the dance and everything like that. And I'm like, you know, I was just trying to hit it and quit it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I was trying to do because I ain't did nothing in a long time. I said, okay, well, let me just act like I'm doing again, you know, get with some girl and act like I'm all right with it and all that, you know. And then something came over me at some point, and I was like, if I don't be free up in here, I'm going to use, you know. And I remember I went to a meeting and, you know, we were sharing the stuff and I stood up. I don't know why I stood up, but I was like, I just want to tell everybody that, you know, that I've been living a lie here in the fellowship and I'm gay, you know. And they said, we know, you know. You know. You know. And that made me feel part of. And then, you know, before then, I was getting hugs from the guys, and as soon as I made that little announcement, it was all this, you know. You know, so I had to go ahead and address that issue, because that's one thing I was going to do, was that I was not going to find any excuse to run myself up out the rooms. Because I could have used that as an excuse, where they're not welcome to me anymore. They don't like me. The hugs are different. So I went into the meeting one time, and I just went on here and shared. I said, let me just go ahead and tell y'all, I don't want none of you men for. You know, I'm not attracted to none of y'all. I'm here. They said that we give hugs because due to the nature of the disease, we may never know when we might see each other again. And I said, and when I came in here, I needed the hugs. You know what I'm saying? I didn't love myself when I came in here. So I had to go ahead and tell them, no, you know, hug me. Because you'll never know what I might be going through 5 minutes before the meeting. So if you give me a hug, that might make me feel a little better and a little bit more welcome. You know, and I remember in early recovery when we was doing the readings and stuff, and they said, regardless of, they said, regardless of age, creed, sexual identity, religion, and lack of religion. When I saw sexual identity, y'all don't know how much that reading meant to me. You know, And I found out that, you know, we are a society of men and women who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. And when I, you know, there's a society within, the key word is a society. That means that we come from different backgrounds, lifestyles, differences, and everything else. What I really want to say is that we try not to judge, we try not to demoralize, we try not to make a difference, but we do. Yeah. We do. You know, I was just out there in our hobby, and I heard somebody say, you know, queer, and, you know, they're making a joke, but they say queer faggot, queer sissy or something. And then automatically, it cringe. in me. I know I just overheard the conversation, and it just sent something through me. You know, it's like, dang, dude. You know, you don't know. You know, I remember speaking and I would tell my story and I would talk about myself, and I remember sharing at some workshops, and as soon as I talked about my sexuality, people get up and they walk out the room. You know, do I really feel a part of? Am I really inclusive? Mm-hmm. Is there really prejudice within the fellowship? I mean, is it really? And it's not so much of me being a gay addict and stuff. You know, when I was in active addiction, I was in an abusive relationship. You know, I mean, I got jumped on, beat on, fought. We fought like cats and dogs. We came to a point where we almost decided to kill each other. You know what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to cut you, MF. And I had bit his hand and stuff. And we was using during that time. And I could see the wildness in his eyes. And I said, if I stay here, I'm going to die. But one of us is going to get seriously injured. And I left. I said, let me put my flip-flops on. And I'm gone. You know? And I left. And I cried down the street and everything else. This is an act of addiction and stuff. But when I share that story, I know that there are some women, or maybe some guys, but I know there's somebody in here can identify how to be in an abusive relationship, wanted to leave the relationship, and afraid to leave the relationship. You know, being in something that toxicity and afraid to move on. Now, would I tell you that my journey has been easy? No. You know, you know, they say our disease manifests in other areas of our lives that have nothing to do with drugs. You know, it says in our literature that that we don't recover overnight. You know, there's some certain things in our lives that might take a while for us to get to. Well, one of my issues was that even though I felt a part of in the fellowship, you know, and I would go to the dances and everything else, and you know, I would do the line dances, and I felt the hug eventually. You know, I was able to share behind the podium or share in the meeting, talk about my lifestyle and everything else, but there was still something that was saying inside of me that I was different. You know, I would love to find a guy in the fellowship that's working on themselves with some clean time. That doesn't happen. You know, so I found the sickest, craziest, tattooed, just got out of prison motherfucker. You know, found them thinking that I could fix, manage, and control some shit. You know, you bat your eyes at me or look at me one way, then I've already, because fantasy is my first drug of choice anyway. You know, you look at me, you thugged out and everything else and all that and looking crazy and stuff. You know, you got a little cock eye, missing tooth over here. You know, I'm already made up my mind. We got a 2-car garage. I got a dog named Chi Chi. I got a cat, you know what I'm saying? I got an Acura, you got a Lexus, you know what I'm saying? And all you just said was hi, you know? So I would pick those people because I was looking for a hit. And not only was I searching for a hit, I was searching for a hope of a hit. You know, I wanted something to be outside myself, and then when I would get with these people, and I had a pattern. I would get into one, it would go crazy, it would go really south, you know what I'm saying? You know, take my cars, buy cars, you know, they in active addiction. I drive, take them, drop, take them in front of, you know, everything against my recovery. Everything against my recovery, you know, because I just wanted to be, I wanted somebody to love me, you know. And I think about way back in my early childhood, me and my step cousins, we used to wrestle and play. And then we would, you know, I'm just keeping all the way real. We would hump on each other. And, you know, that was just early stuff. And it would be, I was the one that was attracted to it because I would love to wrestle. Well, one day, up in our attic, our bedroom was up in my attic, my dad came up and he seen what was going on. And he didn't say nothing. He turned around and he went back downstairs. And I finally went downstairs and he didn't say anything to me. He gave me this look that he hated me. And I remember that was, you know, with the old razors that they had, with the old ones that opened up and stuff. That was the first time I thought about committing suicide. You know? So I might be bouncing around and stuff, but what I want to tie in was is that was the beginning of my low self-worth. That was the beginning of what I do, who I love, and where I am is bad. So then I come up in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I find y'all, and I'm getting with everybody, and the hugs was there and everything like that. But still, at the same time, I was seeking something outside of myself because I still didn't feel accepted. You know, so I would get the sickest people on the planet, get with them, and then I would jump from one relationship, find the same identical thing in another one, run rampant, do that again, then I go back to the same old one, you know, a little bit later, because I said it's going to be different this time, you know, so I would do that, and I would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, about maybe, I don't know, about 7 years ago or something, 5-7 years ago or whatever, I got back with my ex again. He lived in Cincinnati. And I can tell you some horror stories that make the hair on your neck stand up, you know, dealing with that. But I ended up getting back with him. I got hired at Honda, had a job and everything like that, and moved him in Marysville. And then I figured, like, you know, Captain Save an Addict, you know, we're going to do different this time. We're going to move to Springfield. This will give him an opportunity. I was only 10 minutes away from my job, and I ended up moving to another town that I was almost at least about 45 to an hour drive. Do the math. You know, so we found a little place. I said, I went on the basis where rent is going up. My rent is going up. That, you know, that's the lie I told myself. You know, and I found a cheaper place. So we found a 3-bedroom house, $650 a month. You know, sooner or later, his nephew moved in. Later on, then his son showed up, and he was inactive. He was off the hook, in active addiction. He was, you know, he got with some girl. I couldn't stand her anyway. You know, next thing I know, she got kicked out of her place. I come home from work, and then there's a whole bunch of furniture in my basement. And before I knew it, my house was almost damn near a trap house. Everybody was using, I couldn't find no spoons, I couldn't find anything, you know. And I don't know why I'm telling this, but I guess I got to go ahead and tell it. But my sponsor, my grand sponsor told me that I was behind ME lines of disease of addiction. And I made a conscious decision to move from my own place that I was pretty much the provider for, you know. And after that, when I did that, I had a couple little more bumps, you know, with individuals. But something told me, it says, you know, maybe you need to just stop, you know, admit your powerlessness. So, make a long story short, I haven't been active or in a relationship with anybody in almost 7 years, you know. And I don't know why, because the thirst is real. I mean, it's real. I look and, you know, eyes bucking and everything else. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say that y'all got some fine brothers out here in the Oklahoma area. You know, but I look, but I don't say nothing, you know. You know. And I think God has put me on this path where, if you stop the behavior, you can find a solution. You know what I'm saying? If you stop the behavior, and even when I try to act out, dang, you know, it still don't work. You know, I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I was on an app here at the hotel, looking, ain't got a bite, nothing. And then I was like, you know what, fool, you really lost your rabbit ass mind. How you gonna be at a convention, recovery convention, and you're acting out on a hope of a hit? How you gonna do something like that? How you gonna do what God has already done for you? You know, I'm gonna get back on topic. I hope I didn't go off too far, but it says making a space of any addict requires taking an honest look at ourselves and our community, society, outside of meeting, all sorts of things, differences of language, ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, and financial presents challenges. Some of it might be for distinction, but they are melted away when we at the door of our meeting. They're all wrapped up in as who people we are, and our distinction and assets in a is not the problem, is of NA problems is not solved. We tell the newcomer our differences doesn't matter, but our meetings are largely made up of people with similar background who look like NA and more inclusive than the rest of the society. We openly share about our differences and encourage others to do so. So basically, our inclusiveness is that, you know, they say in the first edition our recovery depends on NA unity. You know, so our diversity is our strength. So it really doesn't matter who I choose to love. Is that the whole deal is that I'm an addict seeking recovery. Because the third tradition tells me the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using.
That's right.
You know, so long as I got the desire, I'm a member here. And I nobody can kick my ass out. But I know for a fact that newcomers will find any excuse to remove themselves from the fellowship or Narcotics Anonymous. So when you see that transgender person, or you see somebody walking down the hall and that's a little bit flamey or whatever, or, you know what I'm saying? Hug them. You know? Let them know that they're welcome here. Because there's a lot of us dying out there. You know, there's a lot of us dying out there. I am so glad that this convention decided to have an inclusive workshop. Because, you know, I share my story, and I've often, even when I sponsor guys, you know, I tell them right off the rip, you know, look, what brought you to me? I like what you share. I like how you live. I like all that kind of stuff, you know, all that. And I let them know, look, man, bro, I'm gay. So if you have a problem with that, then I suggest that you look for somebody else, because I'm going to, and it doesn't matter what my lifestyle is, because I'm still a brother. I'm a sponsee, you know, brother. I'm a recovering addict. My problems are still the same as yours. I work steps. I live the traditions. I do all the same thing. It's just that I just choose to love somebody differently than normal society says. You know, and the sad part is we just had a campaign year and a half ago based on that, and that's how some buffoon got up there in the damn White House. I'm just gonna say that part. You know. But that's outside issues. That's not what's here inside the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. What's here in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is that if you see me and you know me, and if I come in the meeting, then you give me a hug and you welcome me and you say keep coming back and don't use no matter what. Because, you know, I was in pain. Pain and desperation drove me up in here. It wasn't the fact that who I love. It was the pain and the desperation that drove me up in here. And then when I came up in here and I didn't know what this was about, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what this fellowship was about. I mean, y'all was all happy, joyous and everything like that and shit. And I was like, what the hell's going on up in here? Is it a car? You know, I was angry. When I came in here, I was angry. I was angry at the disease of addiction because I could not find any ways to use successfully anymore. So when I got up in here, y'all hugged on me. Y'all loved on me. You know, y'all told me we know. You know, and it doesn't make a difference. You know, we all are here striving for one thing, and that's just to stay clean one day at a time. You know, You know, and my path has been different. You know, I wish I could say it when I got up in here was going to be easy and I, you know, la 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 and flowers and blooms and, you know, I worked the steps and I followed suggestions and I did everything else. No, you know, there's something in my self-nature that cries out for failure. You know, and then sometimes I would use that as an excuse because I would think that because who I choose to love is different, that I would go out and act out on that stuff. Just to feel the hole that's inside of me. Because when I came in here, I had a hole. It says the top of the title of the thing is our freedom to be me. It's okay to be me today. You know, for a long time, I didn't want to sit up here and tell you that I was a gay. Now I can say proudly, yeah, I'm gay. And what? You know? Duh. You know, it doesn't make a difference. But you look at the similarities instead of the difference. You might fall in love with a woman, but I just happen to fall in love with a man. You know, you might be going through some issues with them. We got the same doggone issues. You know, when I tell you that I don't feel right about myself, or I don't like myself, or if I have an issue or a problem, you can identify with it. It doesn't matter. It's just that the person might be a little bit different. You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who has been through the same thing that I've been through here, just ain't had the courage to say it. Seeking out outside for yourself. I mean, you know, I remember a few years ago we had up in Ohio area in Hudson, Ohio, they had an inclusive diversity convention there, and me and my friend went up there, and we went up there to London, Ohio, or Houston, Ohio, or something like that. I don't know when I stopped, but I know I got to stop at some point. Y'all make sure. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Okay, I just want to make sure I don't run. But they had the workshops. They had a drag show. It was fun. The sponsors drop off their sponsees. They might have left. They didn't want to stay, but they left. But you know, we did the thing. You know, and I remember doing one of the dances. They had a dance, and the guy, the DJ, played some house music. You know, I love house music. You know, so they played some house music, and this one guy, he was just so happy. He just fell out on the floor and just did ah. You know, and we danced around him with balloons and stuff, and that was the freest I ever felt in Narcotics Anonymous. It felt so good to be able to dance with somebody that's like me. You know, when I go to dances and stuff right now, or something like in the dance and stuff, I'm careful because I don't want to dance in a convention with a partner, and then somebody's child is there, and then you got to worry about what the child is. So there's some struggles here in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous about us. You know, I mean, we still got some work to do. I'm just going to go ahead and put it all the way out there. We still got some work to do. You know, but the literature and the steps and the fellowship and the inclusiveness and I believe that the writers knew, or whoever wrote the book, they knew that we were coming. And I thank God for when they said, but regardless of, despite of the difficulties, because it's not easy being black, being gay, and being clean. I'm going to go ahead and say that out loud again. It's not easy being black, being gay, and being clean. You know, because I want more of us up in here. You know, I got to go outside to a club or something. I don't want to go to no damn club. You know, I got to go outside and then I got to sit up there and act and pretend. And then I got to watch my Coca-Cola and make sure that I don't get nothing spiked up in it. And then I got to go ahead and try to dance and all this kind of stuff. And you know what I'm saying? Why I got to go through that when I should be able to be free here in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous? And those are little small little gripes that I have. But the freedom comes in for me is that I am a recovering addict and I'm free and I'm proud of who I am today. It took a long time. It took a long time. And you know, I'm going to get looks and everything. I don't give a fuck. I just don't. Because I said, you know, I am who I am. You know, and it's there's the society norms and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not alternative lifestyle, I'm not a common knees, I'm not handicapped. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's difficulties here. I mean, society look at us different, and sometimes the fellowship do. But you know what? I found a home here, and I'm okay today. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay at being who I am, and it doesn't make a difference. We all the manifest of the disease shows up in different areas of our lives, but the common denominator is that we're addicts, and we suffer from the disease of addiction. You know, and drugs was the symptom, was the substance that drove me up in here. But when I got here, I learned that there's so much more. You know, next month on May 14th, I'll be celebrating 31 years if I keep coming back. You know, I appreciate that this area and this convention did this. Please, please don't let this be the last one. Please.
Thank you.
Please don't let this be the last workshop that y'all have here in this convention. And don't be ashamed that, you know, we ain't got to be at 10:30 in the morning. You know, you can put us right along with the men's and women's rap. We ain't scared. You know what I'm saying? We ain't scared. You know, don't make it difficult. You know, in Columbus area, we got gays, lesbians, transgenders, and everything in the fellowship, and they on the convention committee, and they still won't put a diverse workshop in the convention. Why? Why? I'm free to be myself. And I'm so grateful to be myself. And I found freedom through the steps. I just want to thank you guys for just allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Nate. Our next speaker comes to us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Her name is Cyrus S. Come on up.
Hey, I'm Cyrus and I'm an addict. I would like to say I am in fact scared. Please do not put me near the women's wrap. No, put someone else. I didn't realize that we got to come up here because we were queer, and I think that's interesting. I think that I was also selected because there's not other people like me in our local community who have like been clean as long as me. Does that make sense? Like, when I walk into the room, I never see another person like me. I'm the only one. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a sponsor who has more clean time than me that looks like me or sounds like me or any of these things. Okay, bye. Is that good enough? No. Okay, I guess I'll start at the end of the beginning. So I used a copious amount of drugs for a period of time, and I ended up in a rehab. And this Narcotics Anonymous panel came in, and they said that I could have 4 matching tires. I was like, yes. I would like to say I'm very flat and I'm very dry, so if like you don't understand I swear to God I'm happy inside. I just look like this and I just sound like this. It's a whole thing in my life. Anyways, they said I could have 4 matching tires, and that was a huge concept at that time. And then there, where is she? Where is she? There you are. This lady said that she went from being a dopo to a woman of integrity. I'll cry right now. No, I'm so shy. I'm so shy. And that was just such a huge deal, because even though I looked like this, like, I've done horrible things for money and drugs with old men. You know what I mean? Like, degradation on, like, the deepest level. Okay. Like, conflicting my morals and values and things that I like to just get the next one. And so it really spoke to me. And I was like, well, I guess I'll graduate rehab. So I did. Like, I don't know what else I'm gonna do, but using drugs isn't working. So I showed up to this meeting, and Kelsey was in there, and it was really awkward to look like this and to go up to somebody's partner and be like, hey, will you sponsor me? Because I don't really know what I'm asking, right? I've been clean for 5 minutes, and like, I don't, like, what is this relationship gonna look like? Like, what am I even supposed to do? What is sponsorship? But she agreed, and then, you know, that was nice. Up until the point that I worked my first step, and I had to go to her house with her husband, and I was convinced that they were swingers and that this was a trap. Yeah. Like, I'm in the house, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm like, I'm going to throw up. I'm sweating so hard. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what is this? I know that sounds like a joke, but that was really, like, where I was at mentally. I was very unwell for a long time, but we just worked a step and it was fine. And then sometimes her husband does share about how he thinks that I was trying to steal his wife. Yeah, that's been fun every time I've ever celebrated and he's given me a coin. You know, but like, we're just being honest. Like, these are just some conflicts that you experience in recovery. Like, this is just real life. This is what it's like, looking like this and sounding like this and trying to find a sponsor when no one else is like you. And, like, getting clean and doing it anyway. Like, I didn't make excuses. I only have one white key tag. I just picked up 8 years last weekend. You know what I mean? Yes. Clap. I am excellent. This is a beacon of hope for nobody like me. I don't know who I'm doing this for, but here we are. Yeah, so that's really some experiences that I've had about, you know, being a queer folk here, I guess. This is so weird. This is like the most intimate part of my life that I don't ever really talk about. And the one time I talk about it in a meeting, they put me up here in a workshop, right? Like, never again will I be talking about this publicly. I do think that it's important to note that regardless of, like, you guys looking like me or sounding like me, like, this is not the only place that I get my cup filled, right? Like, I didn't get clean to hide in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I got clean to go and live a life outside of here. And I can find the types of connections that I'm looking for not in Narcotics Anonymous and not be okay and be clean all the time. Does that make sense? Like, if I want to go find the queer folk, I can go to where they are safely. They like to party. It's fine. Anyways, so I got clean and then I got that sponsor. I've had the same sponsor for the entire time and we have worked a large amount of steps. I feel like I got clean and just did what I was told and everything just kind of panned out, right? Like, I started going to area at 90 days clean and then I got a service position at what, like, I think I had like 18 months or something. I was like area chair somewhere around that time. And so I learned about doing large events and what it, like, the effort it takes into that. I learned how to manage money through those things. I learned how to behave nicely to your friends when they don't do what you say on your panel. After the fact, right? Like, I've had a lot of growing pains in relationships. Yeah, those were crazy times. I was a wreck. Oh my God. What else has happened? I think that, oh yeah, I didn't have this name or look like this, did I? So when I got clean, I had long hair and I had on girl pants and I wanted to be like y'all real bad so you'd love me. And then one day I was like, I just can't do it anymore. So I cut off all my hair and the person that I was with was really upset about it. But no one cares what she thinks. And so I started going back to who I was originally before I ever got clean, because I've been this way since I was like 2 years old. And I grew up in a time when being like this was not acceptable, or less acceptable than it is now, right? So then I changed my name because it feels more appropriate. I really like Cyrus. I think it's more fitting, it's more gender neutral, and it aligns with like the vibe that I guess I have going on. And so that's been an experience, right? Because I walk into a room and a lot of the time people will dead name me. And that is so awkward. So like when I picked up my 8 years, this old man who actively posts bigotry on Facebook dead named me in front of the entire room on my 8 years clean. Like, come on, bro. It's been years. Like, be real right now. But sometimes being the bigger person is more important. Yeah. So like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I do it anyway. I'm going to be clean anyway. I'm going to show up to meetings anyway. I'm going to share honestly anyway. I'm going to do all of these things in spite of you. Does that make sense? I feel like on some level, we all do stuff in spite of other people, right? Like, I'm going to stay clean just to irritate you at this point. You old man, you will look at my face every Sunday. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm one of those. It's fine. I feel like you guys are starting to understand my personality. Thank you for that. So that's been fun. I don't know. I guess maybe we should talk about some relationships I had. So I've dated a couple of people, and I married one of them, and that was a bad idea. It was extremely painful and lasted way longer than it should have, and they were also kind of a bigot against transgender people, which is crazy because you're a lesbian. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, pick a side. I don't know. So that was hard, and then I made a decision to get a divorce, and I was like, hey, I want to get a divorce, and she was like, no, and I was like, yes, we will be doing this. And then it took her 6 months to sign the divorce papers, and I paid her rent for 6 months, and then I quit all my jobs and went to school full-time, and that's been wonderful. I have worked multiple jobs for 8 years, and I don't know about y'all, but working multiple jobs and still being poor sucks. So the only way out of that was to go to school. And now I make really good grades, and I'm going to be a nurse. Yeah. I love school. Like, I am smarter every time I leave the room, and I get to go to these hospitals and help all of these really sick people, and that has made me realize how important your health is. You know what I mean? Like, take care of your body. Drink water every single day. Oh my God, please. I don't know. It's really crazy that I walked into Narcotics Anonymous with, like, a Walmart sack full of clothes that didn't fit me, and full of psychosis and insanity, and today I feel like I have everything that I've ever wanted. You know, that's a big deal. It's been 12 minutes, in case you're wondering. Help. What else has happened in my lifetime after Narcotics Anonymous? I don't really know. I don't feel like I've done anything other than accomplish goals. Like, I've showed up here, I've made a goal every single time I've accomplished a goal, I've made another goal, and then I've just done that for years and years and years. And that's it. I feel like I've really put recovery on the back burner this year and put school at the forefront because I've spent a lot of my time here being of service to other people, and at some point I need to reap the benefits of my hard work. So I work for me and I do things for myself while still maintaining an active program of recovery, if that makes sense to anyone. Can I leave now? No? I don't have anything more to give them. I'm gay. Here I am. I did a good job. You're welcome.